just wanna party. Hola, mis amigos. This is El Hoodie, and you're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears.
You can find out about so many local events, like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday, there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org. And add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to wgxc.org and clicking on the community calendar.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Dan and Mary Udell of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Nancy Kern reports for Columbia Green Media that David Snyder was declared the winner of the Tannersville mayoral election on March 30th by a count of 103 to 102 votes. The one-vote victory came after Snyder had a two-vote lead after absentee ballots and two cured ballots were submitted to the Greene County Board of Elections. But the board ruled one of the cured or changed ballots invalid. County Elections Commissioner Marie Metzler and Brent Bogatis said that the handwriting on one of the cured ballots did not match the signatures on the ballot envelope or the original registration. Snyder said, and I quote, "I'm honored to have been elected by voters in the village of Tannersville to serve as the next mayor, in the largest election turnout in well over a decade. I'm excited to continue engaging with our neighbors as we move our community forward. I'm ready to get to work and serve our community in a collaborative manner. We have a tremendous opportunity to ensure that basic services are maintained while supporting our residents, businesses, and visitors. I look forward to working with the Board of Trustees as we map out Tannerville's future together. I want to thank Lee McGonigal for his years of service to Tannersville." End quote. McGonigal did not take the loss easily and may appeal. McGonigal said, and I quote, "They refused to open one vote. There was one letter in the whole signature they didn't like," end quote. McGonigal also mentioned voter intimidation at the polls as an issue in the results. McGonigal said, and I quote, "You're not supposed to be harassed, you're not supposed to be intimidated, you're not supposed to film people at the election place," end quote. McGonigal was first elected mayor of Tannersville in 1994, served four terms, and after a brief interruption was elected again in 2007 and has been mayor until now. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Liz Montgomery reports at Porcupine Soup that Catskill Schools went into shelter in place on March 30th after police received a false threat targeting the high school. A number of other schools in the Upper Hudson Valley also experienced similar threats this week, and several Berkshire County schools also did on March 28th. On March 27th, there was a school shooting in Tennessee with 7 dead, and other threats often follow school shooting. The threat targeted Catskill High School, which has been empty all week because of a broken pipe. Read the full story at Porcupine Soup. Nancy Kern reports at Columbia Green Media that dozens of Athens residents spoke out against a tax break for Athens Generating Plant at a March 29th public hearing held by the Greene County Industrial Development Agency. The IDA wants to renew a payment in lieu of taxes or pilot for the power facility located on Route 9W, but many residents disagreed. Athens resident John Cameron said, and I quote, "Athens, unlike Coxsackie, does not have a lot of commercial tax brought into it, and we are being robbed of the commercial taxes which our town desperately needs," end quote. Former Athens Mayor Chris Fitzer said, and I quote, "Look at the businesses around here, little businesses, restaurants, mom-and-pop stores, whatever, none of them get tax breaks," end quote. Former Athens Town Supervisor Lee Parlementaire said, and I quote, "It's a sweetheart relationship between Athens Gin and the IDA. The plant's not going anywhere," end quote. Others complained about natural gas-fired plants hastening climate change. If the tax break is approved, Athens Gin would only pay $5,250,000 from 2024 to 2028, $5,512,500 from 2029 to 2033, $5,788,125 from 2034 to 2038, and $6,077,531 from 2038 to 2043. And you can read more about that story at HudsonValley360.com. Fishing season for trout and striped bass begin in New York April 1st. Brook trout, trout in inland streams, and lake trout fishing seasons run from April 1st to October 15th. For inland trout, only two fish longer than 12 inches are allowed, while lake trout must be at least 21 inches long. Striped bass season runs from April 1st to November 30th, limited to fish not less than 18 inches and no greater than 28 inches. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the Donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, April 3rd. 25.4% of the way through the year, we find ourselves with 79 days left until summer. Local early morning temperatures range from 19 degrees in Medusa to 26 degrees in Skodak. Regional average soil temperature is 39 degrees. Pollen levels will be medium today and low tomorrow, and expect it to stay around there for the whole week, which is looking pretty dreary. Today we get a windy and cool spring day. Winds reach 17 miles per hour and stay that way, especially through the afternoon. Gonna be great for kite flying, but not so much for keeping those garbage cans upright. A high of 60 happens at 4 p.m. After dark, rain chances enter the area and continue all night. We get a low of 44 degrees. Tomorrow, some light rain may linger for some, and we get a high of 63 at 4 p.m. Overnight is still kind of soggy, with more chances for light rain and a low of 48. Wednesday looks wetter, with rain getting stronger in the afternoon and a high of 58. Thursday, still wet, but a high of 68. Today's river temperature will be 43 degrees, and the tide strength will be high. Sunset today will be at 7:08 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:31 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are currently at 1%, but that could go up as we have a new sunspot growing rapidly in size and is currently aimed in our general direction. Solar wind speed is currently 463.2 kilometers per second at 2.2 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 MHz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3.6, quiet. The current sunspot number is 54, and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Listen to music and voices. Listen to art and discussion. Listen to work and play. Listen to eat and drink. Listen to up and down. Listen to noise and fun. Listen to purple and green. Listen to pink and blue. Listen to a heart rainbow. Listen to wizards and witches. Listen to jazz play. Listen to dogs and mice. Listen to Rome and Italy. Listen to Mars and Venus. Listen to the planet. Listen to the planet. Listen to ladies and dummies. Listen to books. Listen to teeth and trunks. Listen to bath time and nap time. Listen to Kaizen and Violet. Listen to stars and stripes. Listen to Texas and listen to bells and waterfalls. Listen to churches and steeple. Dance and sing and listen and bells. Listen to making things, stripes and zigzags. Listen to clouds and leaves, bike riding and zigzagging. No, listen to bike riding and curving. Listen to the radio going on and on. Listen to the radio going on and on. Listen to the radio WGXC.
Sunshine, baby, whenever you smile, but I call you stormy today. All of a sudden, that old rain's falling down, and my world is cloudy and gray. Yesterday's love was like a warm summer breeze, but like the weather, you changed. Now things are dreary, baby, and it's windy and cold, and I stand alone in the rain. Oh,
Now here's 2023 new music from Boy Genius from their album The Record. This is Not Strong Enough.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
He doesn't want to charge people with felonies. So now he turns around purely for political purposes and indicts a former president on misdemeanor offenses that they're straining to try to convert into felonies.
In a speech to a conservative audience, likely presidential candidate Florida Governor Ron DeSantis didn't mention former President Donald Trump by name, but DeSantis called Trump's indictment a weaponization of the law for political purposes. Sources familiar with the closed indictment say Trump has been charged with about 24 counts related to hiding payments to a porn star. Trump, who's already said he's running for the White House, is set to be arraigned on Tuesday in the first of several possible criminal cases. Sunday on Fox News, Trump's former Attorney General Bill Barr said Trump's lack of self-control makes it dangerous for him to take the stand in the New York hush money case.
Generally, I think it's a bad idea to go on the stand, and I think it's particularly a bad idea for Trump because he lacks all self-control, and it'd be very difficult to prepare him and keep him testifying in a prudent fashion.
During a Sunday interview, Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy said there simply aren't the votes in Congress for a federal ban on assault rifles, but he is asking lawmakers to consider a bill that would require training before their purchase.
Ultimately, I want those weapons off the street, but I think we'd be a safer nation if we required just a little bit of training before you bought the most dangerous weapons commercially available.
Murphy said it's unconscionable for the weapons of war to circulate following the shooting at a private Christian school in Nashville, which left six dead. According to the Gun Violence Archive, there have been 130 mass shootings so far this year, more than one per day. New York Governor Kathy Hochul met with education and public safety officials Friday to discuss the more than 200 incidents in the state where someone has made a prank phone call to a school reporting an active shooter.
But I want parents to know that we are taking every single incident very seriously. We treat it as if it's real, but the reality is this is meant to disrupt and cause chaos in our school system and indeed society.
Hochul also said that since the mass shooting at a Buffalo grocery store, the state has issued over 7,000 red flag orders. Under state law, extreme risk orders aim to alert officials about someone who has the potential to harm themselves or others. Finally, former Republican Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson is the latest politician to announce he is running for president in 2024. He is the fourth Republican to announce a campaign following former President Trump, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, and venture capitalist Vivek Ramaswamy. I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our A-Trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Lost among last week's headlines of former President Donald Trump's indictment was news of the legal blow suffered by the former president's biggest cheerleader, Fox News. In a 130-page ruling, a Delaware judge said that the $1.6 billion defamation lawsuit by Dominion Voting Systems against Fox News will go to trial. Judge Eric Davis said that Dominion had proved that Fox had lied about Dominion's ballot tabulating machines having been manipulated against Trump. Quote, "The evidence developed in this civil proceeding demonstrates that it is crystal clear that none of the statements relating to Dominion about the 2020 election are true." This decision was on a pretrial motion to grant a summary judgment, a decision by the judge rather than a jury. The judge denied that motion, sending the case to a jury trial beginning April 17th. Fox News is expected to argue that the First Amendment protected their actions, and Dominion hopes to convince the jury that Fox intentionally lied, defaming Dominion and causing its sales and stock value to plummet. The false claims of widespread voter fraud, which included accusations against Dominion and competitor Smartmatic, led to widespread suspicion of election results, needless new voting laws, blocking of election certifications, and threats against election workers. Smartmatic's $2.7 billion lawsuit is also advancing. We have links and articles at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. Thank you.
2023, music from Sunburned Hand of the Man. The album's called That Which Is, and this song is Exploding Head Flick. WGXC. I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and Philip Grant up in Rensselaer County and I are bringing you the WGXC Congressional Report, full of stories about what the candidates and representatives from the New York 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional districts have been up to this past week. Go to WGXC.org in the WGXC newsroom for complete coverage of your congressional representative.
The Daily Freeman reports that Representative Mark Molinaro will speak at the Ulster County Regional Chamber of Commerce breakfast at the Diamond Mills Hotel and Tavern at 7:30 a.m. on April 12. Molinaro represents the 19th Congressional District and says he will discuss the workforce shortage, combating inflation, and encouraging business development in the Hudson Valley in the address. It costs $30 for members and $40 for non-members to attend the event and hear Molinaro speak. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Brendan J. Lyons reports in the Times Union that Democrats in a New York appellate court have a lawsuit that would redraw the congressional district maps. The lawsuit seeks to compel the State Independent Redistricting Commission to create yet another map of New York's congressional boundaries. The Independent Redistricting Commission deadlocked along partisan lines and failed to create a map originally, so the Democrat-led legislature stepped in and created a map that was thrown out of the court because it was considered gerrymandered to favor Democrats. Then a special master created the district lines that are currently in place. Democrats have hired the Elias Law Group in Washington, D.C., which touts itself as, and I quote, the nation's largest law firm focused on representing the Democratic Party, Democratic campaigns, nonprofit organizations, and individuals committed to securing a progressive future, end quote. The case is scheduled in May before the Appellate Division of the State Supreme Court in Albany. It is possible that congressional elections in 2020, 2022, and 2024 could have three different district maps if the Democrats prevail. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Paul Kirby reports in the Daily Freeman that local Democrats and Republicans in Congress voted on opposite sides of a bill March 30th that would lower energy costs and hasten global warming, leading to more costs later. But it was all just congressional theater, as the bill is unlikely to pass the democratically controlled Senate or be signed by President Joe Biden. The Lower Energy Cost Act would increase domestic production of oil, natural gas, and coal, and ease permitting restrictions that delay pipelines, refineries, and other projects and hasten global warming by increasing pollutants. Local Democrats Paul Tonko and Pat Ryan voted against the bill, and Republicans Mark Molinaro and Elise Stefanik voted for the measure, which passed 225 to 204 in the House of Representatives. New York Senators Chuck Schumer called it, and I quote, dead on arrival. Ryan said, and I quote, my community has long and well-documented history of big corporations dumping toxic pollutants, particularly PFAS, in our waterways, and while there are many reasons I oppose this bill, I rise today to speak on this aspect in particular, end quote. Molinaro said, and I quote, the historic legislation that passed with bipartisan support lowers energy costs for upstate New York families by increasing domestic energy production, reforming the United States' broken permitting process, and streamlining new energy projects, including renewable energy projects, end quote. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Local congressional representatives Pat Ryan and Elise Stefanik responded on Twitter March 30th to the news that former President Donald Trump has been indicted by a Manhattan grand jury, while Paul Tonko and Mark Molinaro stayed silent in the first hours after the story broke. Stefanik, a Republican representing the 21st Congressional District, including Rensselaer County, wrote, and I quote, this is unprecedented election interference from corrupt socialist district attorney Alvin Bragg. The radical far left will stop at nothing to persecute Joe Biden's chief political opponent, President Trump, ahead of the election, end quote. Democrat Pat Ryan, who represents Dutchess County and the rest of the 18th Congressional District, wrote, and I quote, "No one is above the law, even a former president. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office now has an obligation to lay out the facts and present its case. I urge all Americans to reject any calls for violence and respect the rule of law," end quote.
This has been the WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional seats in New York. Go to WGXC.org for more information.
Castle and handed me a Marlboro, stuck a dove in my right hand. She took a quick picture, but even when we squinted, I didn't look so much like Robert Plant. She flew a flag that she made from a bedsheet, a sideways skull and a lopsided pentagram. Said asymmetrical's way more diabolical. You don't want to make it look too perfect, man. The trick is not getting cynical. She had a hairbrush mic and a fantasy band. She opened up with "We Are the Champions," went right into "Under My Wheels." I was trying to figure out how I feel. Faded denim with the buttons and badges, laminates and backstage passes, jacket held together by the rock band patches. They let her smoke, but she can't have matches after last week's pyro disaster. She liked me better if I didn't wear glasses. She said we're gonna do a show at the pyramids. She said she needs to take a call from her lawyers. Introduced me to the dudes that she's calling her crew. An assortment of sad self-destroyers. Sitting six to a table in the room off the kitchen. Telling stories about things they imagined. Like after the show, we got roofed on the Reaper Bond. Woke up in a video cabin. I was rolling my eyes at the ritual lies. Okay, maybe half of that happens. She bites down on the capital when the blood comes from her mouth. But it's hard to fully rock in a halfway house. The band would be better if they weren't such burnouts. The Beatle boots and the glam rock top hat isn't gonna make any difference. It never works when no one listens. And badges, laminates and backstage passes, a jacket held together by the rock band patches. They let her smoke when she can't have matches. Bites down on the capsule and the blood comes from her mouth. But it's hard to really rock in a halfway house. The pesky problem of the temple turnout. I said I got a band too, we're called The Price of Progress. We got a reputation as New Hampshire's hardest. Our singer psycho and our fans are violent. Once they let me loose, we're probably touring Europe. Our morning meetings in the room off the kitchen. No medication for the same old depression. It never works when no one listens. But it's sure nice to meet some fellow musicians.
This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
I'm John Ross, KD8IDJ, and this is the ARRL Audio News for Friday, March 31st, 2023. In less than a month, 2023 World Amateur Radio Day, known as WARD, will be celebrated literally around the world. WARD is held on April 18th every year and is celebrated by radio amateurs and their national associations, which are organized as the member society of the International Amateur Radio Union, IARU. It was on this day in 1925 that IARU was formed in Paris. American Radio Relay League co-founder Hiram Percy Maxim was its first president. The IARU announced previously that Human Security for All, HS4A, will be this year's World Amateur Radio Day theme. The day is being celebrated with a two-week operating event occurring April 11th through the 25th. Special event stations will be operating from around the world, making two-way radio contacts to call attention to the HS4A campaign. The United Nations Trust Fund for Human Security describes human security as a more powerful, lasting approach to the most difficult deficits in peace and development, such as poverty, war, and natural disasters. ARRL encourages all radio amateurs to take to the airways for WARD to enjoy our global friendship and other amateurs and to show our skills and capabilities to the public. More information about World Amateur Radio Day is available at ARRL.org. Parks on the Air POTA sites that honor African-American heritage are the focus of a casual operating event organized by OMIK, Amateur Radio Association, Inc., OMIK. The OMIK POTA Challenge 2023 will run from April 1st through December 31st. OMIK was founded in 1952 by black amateur radio operators. While it still is a predominantly African-American organization, today it represents a multiracial, multicultural organization with members from the U.S. and around the globe. OMIK is an ARRL-affiliated club. The group hopes to attract at least 750 radio contacts for the program by the end of the year. All modes permitted by POTA Parks program are eligible. OMIK members are encouraged to activate sites using the OMIK club call, K0MIK. The club's call sign must be reserved at least a week in advance. The group has a list of suggested sites that are known to have significant roles in African-American history. They hope to have at least five unique national parks that will be activated as part of the event, contributing to a total of at least 10 successful activations. Parks on the Air is a movement to get radio amateurs to set up portable operations in recognized state park locations. It promotes a culture of operators who make as many contacts, as many as possible, and with such locations. Orlando Hamcation announced the attendance number for this year's 76th annual event, which was held February 10th through the 12th at the 87-acre Lakefront Central Florida Fairgrounds in Expo Park. This year's attendance was the third largest for Hamcation at 21,830. Hamcation organizers report that weather was great during the show hours and the rain held off each night until after closing. And a big thank you was issued to all sponsors, volunteers, visitors, and vendors for their participation, dedication, and making Hamcation a true five-star event. Planning is already underway for next year's Hamcation, which will be held February 9th through the 11th, 2024, and dates have already been set for the following 3 years: Hamcation 2025, February 7th through the 9th, Hamcation 2026, February 13th through the 15th, and Hamcation 2027, February 12th through the 14th. For more information, visit the Hamcation website. ARRL Director Rhea Jerryrum, N2RJ, who has represented the Hudson Division since 2019, will step down, effective March 31st, 2023, at 5 p.m. Vice Director Normar Vizcarandundo, NP4H of Englewood, New Jersey, will accede the director's chair. Vizcarandundo, who earned his amateur radio license in 1978 at the age of 11, will serve as director for the remainder of the three-year term ending December 31, 2024. He was appointed as vice director of the Hudson Division in February 22, following the retirement of previous vice director William Hudzik, W2UDT, who held the position from 2011 to 2022. ARRL President Rick Roderick, K5UR, will announce a successor to the Vizcarandundo to fill the vacant vice director's seat. The ARRL Hudson Division is comprised of the ARRL sections of Eastern New York, New York City, Long Island, and Northern New Jersey. Bruce Page, KK5DO, has filed his weekly AMSAT report, and he reminds us that Hamvention is not far off, and AMSAT will once again be present. There will be satellite demos daily and lots of cool stuff from engineering, educational relations, antennas, software, and more. We will be able to provide more information as we get closer to the May 19th start. And did you know, when you make contacts on the satellite, most of the hams will exchange grid squares. There is no need for a signal report. It's presumed that if you have copied the call sign, you were able to hear the station. Grid squares will begin with two letters indicating the field, followed by two numbers that indicate the square within the field. These two letters are always capitalized. And if you go down one more level, you get to the subgrid, and those two letters are represented by two lowercase letters. Some have broken down the subgrid into even further, 100 squares. You need only to give your field and grid, such as EM20. On the FM satellites, the quicker you can provide your call and grid, the better. You have a much better chance of completing your QSO before others try to make theirs. Be as brief as possible on the FM satellites. On SSB satellites, there is plenty of bandwidth, and you will find many having QSOs that last for 10 to 15 minutes. Others chase grids and are making really quick QSOs. Whatever your pleasure, enjoy the satellites. Remember, if you do not hear the satellite, you may have an issue with either your tuning your radio or stale Kleperian elements, or not pointing your antenna in the correct location. Thanks, Bruce, for the report. The ARRL Laboratory is looking for two new staff members to join our team in Newington, Connecticut. The digital RF engineer will serve as the subject matter expert in the areas of digital RF and RF-based networking topologies, including LAN and WAN-based systems. The senior lab engineer will perform a wide range of technical duties in support of ARRL publications, membership services, and spectrum defense objectives. Visit the ARRL website for complete job descriptions at www.arrl.org/careers. Those interested may send their resumes and cover letters to ARRL HR Manager Lucy Goodwin at hr@arrl.org. ARRL is an equal opportunity employer. Just ahead in Radio Sport, the year-long ARRL Volunteers on the Air VOTA event continues. At their website, you can see the state activation schedule for weekly W1AW portable operations, including March 30th through April 5th, Vermont, W1AW/1. March 30th through April 5th, Mississippi, W1AW/5. April 5th through the 11th, Pennsylvania, W1AW/3. And April 5th through the 11th, Oregon, W1AW/7. Some upcoming contests on April 1st, the RSGB FT4 International Activity Day, that's digital, and then a whole lot of contests run from April 1st to the 2nd, the Prodexis 070 Club PSK 31 Flavors Contest, that's digital, the EA Ritty Contest, that's digital, Louisiana QSO Party, CW Phone and Digital there, as is the Mississippi QSO Party, CW Phone and Digital, and the Missouri QSO Party, CW Phone and Digital. April 1st to the 2nd, the Florida State Parks on the Air, CW Phone and Digital. April 1st to the 2nd, the SPDX Contest, that's CW and Phone. And April 3rd, that's the RSGB 80 Meter Club Champ, that of course is CW. Some upcoming session and state division conventions to be interested in. April 8th, it's the Raleigh Ham Fest hosting the ARRO North Carolina State Convention, that's in Raleigh, North Carolina. April 15th, the Psychic Amateur Radio and Electronics Expo hosting the ARRL Delaware State Convention. That's in Georgetown, Delaware. May 7th, the Warminster Amateur Radio Club Hamfest. That's hosting the ARRL Eastern Pennsylvania Section Convention in Bristol, Pennsylvania. May 13th, the ARRL Nebraska State Convention. That's in Lincoln, Nebraska. And May 19th through the 21st, it's the Dayton Hamvention hosting the ARRL Great Lakes Division Convention in Xenia, Ohio. And our final story this week is about us, the ARRL Audio News. The headline in the ARRL letter reads, ARRL Audio News, Diventia Italiano. The English translation of that Italian phrase reads, ARRL Audio News goes Italian. The weekly ARRL Audio News will soon be available on the internet radio station RTA Planet in Italy. Station owner and ARRL member Tiziano Anti, IU3LZL, will add the weekly report so that it airs in three different time slots and three different time zones. Airing every Friday, the ARRL Audio News is heard by 82 amateur radio clubs across the United States. The program highlights current news in amateur radio and ARRL special features and announcements. ARL Audio News is distributed through Blueberry.com, and you can subscribe to the podcast via your iOS or Android mobile device with your favorite podcast app, or you can listen and download episodes directly from the Audio News page at Blueberry. Each week, the current edition is available at ARRL Audio News. To the folks at RTA Planet, we say grazie. That's it for this week, 7-3.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening. Thank you.